I said cash. It wasn't on then. I'll take cash. Make the cash out to... No, I'm joking. So I had a one-minute message condensed down from 2 minutes. And now we're going to expand it to 35. At 3.5. No. So I guess I'll start by saying this was by far... Probably because my phone's right here. This was by far the best trip. Why is that? Why am I doing that? Okay. By far the best trip we had as far as unity of the team, as far as unity of the people, the brothers, mostly brothers and sisters. There are a few sisters that we had to work with while we were there. Of course, Ramon and Mariloy were just exquisite host, if you will, and it was awesome. There were some, I'll start up by saying the first night was excellent. We got to our hotel, got in our rooms, got to sleep, everything was great. The devil hit us hard after that, I guess you would say, because the rest of the time we were there, the power was intermittent at best, pretty much off, and it was so bad, and even Craig said this is the worst he'd ever seen it, and you know, he's been going there for 15 years, so it was the worst we'd ever seen it for sure. But, I mean, it was so bad that the locals were rioting. At one point, they put a bunch of tires on the main road and set it on fire. So the government set a curfew for everyone had to be home by dark, which we was always at a different city come dark 30. But it was interesting coming home. But I was never afraid, never worried about it. I mean, not even in the least. Knew we were going to make it home safe to the hotel or wherever. But we did see some pretty crazy happenings, like cops chasing down people in the street and tackling them with their basket of whatever they had, plantains, looked like bananas. And it was kind of freaky. But the whole time we were there ministering was just phenomenal. So we started off with Friday and Saturday holding a conference there for the leaders. And Craig was talking about, most of his talk was about these books he had written and going through the steps. And they'd already had book one. He brought with him X amount of copies of book two, right? It was book two. Book three. They had book one and two. They'd already gone through. And I'm sitting here wondering to myself, how much did they actually go through? Did they actually complete anything? Was anything accomplished here? And that's just me trying to work these things out internally. So Craig discussed the book three, which he brought. Praise God, translated in Spanish. And that was a miracle in and of itself from what I understand. And so we distributed those. Max did awesome at that thing, opening up each service. And they didn't really know the songs. We'll come to find out later through working with Ramon what songs they did know. And Max did great transitioning to those songs. And I'll let him talk about that. It was phenomenal. And then Chad got up and spoke. Jason, y'all know Jason Blaylock. He got up there and spoke about reaching drug addicts. And it really caught fire to Christian, who is the pastor of the main church there. I mean, really got his attention. So much so that We come to find out Friday when we went to Jason's birthday party that Christian's already inviting him to come this summer to reach the junkies on the street. That was Christian's word. He's going to help us reach the junkies. So, let's see. Saturday night, Friday night, or Friday evening, I got to speak at one of the churches, one of the satellite churches. And that was just amazing because after the service, we got to pray with several people. One little boy remembered me from last year. We got to pray with him. He had an American name. I want to say it was Bradford or Brad. I just thought it was odd. He had an American name. But we prayed with him, and that was beautiful. Then Saturday, it wasn't planned. We didn't know about it, but Ramon set us up to go to another satellite church. And so Pastor said, well, Juan's speaking. And we was all laughing about it because I'm Juan. But Ramon didn't know that. He laughed when we all laughed. And then we got there and he's like, who's speaking, Pastor? And we all said, Juan. He's like, who is Juan? Who is Juan? But anyway, so I got to speak again. That was great. But at that particular service, is what was really amazing was while we were singing and doing these things, there was someone sitting at a table that was getting all these certificates ready. And it turns out that nearly, I would say 90% of the people at that church, and there's probably 40 people there, 30, 40 people there, at least 80 to 90% of the people there got a certificate for completing book two of Craig's four-book series. And the look on their faces and their dedication to God, it was just amazing. I mean, I don't know what else to say except amazing to see them get up there and celebrate. And unfortunately, since Craig's not here and it was all last minute, we found out Craig has a sore throat and whatever. I have pictures and whatnot, but can't show them to you. Maybe next week we will. But it was just awesome to see that. And then we ended up Sunday, and this whole time we're still sweltering, you know, no AC, no lights, no power. And we get to the church, and the generator has crashed, but they got another generator. But that generator crashed, and they're trying to work it out. And so there we are, and we're doing this big marriage counseling, marriage seminar, and we're all involved in this marriage seminar. All got our speaking parts. We've all got all these things we're going to do. And no power. Someone had a flashlight. I think Max had a flashlight, and there was no candles, nothing else. Max had a flashlight. It was sitting up there at the front. Everyone else is in the dark. It's burning up, probably, I don't know, 120 degrees. We're all praising God. And then finally they got the generator going, I guess, for a few minutes. But then near the end of the singing, the power came back, praise God. But that was just, I don't know, it was just a blessing to see all those couples. And from what I understand, most of them were not actually married with a marriage certificate. But the love they had for each other, you could see that it was genuine. And some of the older couples, they were just a hoot, I mean, to see them carry on. But that was a huge success. God was in it all the way. And the service, that was Saturday night, right? And then Sunday, we had a great Sunday service to top it all off. Sometime during this time, I think it was Saturday night, I forgot to mention this, the whole time there's another church that wanted to become a part of the whole group, and it's a Haitian church. And they happened to live in what they called the Haitian ghetto. We actually got to go there before we left and see their church. And it was quite sobering to see the conditions that they were in. But the pastor of that church, his spirit, I mean, it just instantly bonded with our spirit. You know what I mean? When you have that instant connection, like God is right here joining us together in this thing, and I think it's going to work. They had their discussion about how to go about and make it a done deal. Anyway, I'm going to read you my 1 minute thing I had ready, and we'll go from there. The town we were in lost power every day, usually at night. The locals didn't like that and started rioting in the streets, burning tires, destroying stuff and whatnot. The government set up curfew for after dark, and we were often located in other cities when it got dark. Then I have a smiley face. Y'all can't see it. I laugh because I never felt like I was in any danger at all. I met some of the most beautiful people. I got to speak with them, spend time with them, laugh and dance with them. I got to explain my philosophy of loving out loud on two different occasions. In the end, there were a lot of tears. It's overwhelming because you want to help them with food, money, all the things that make us comfortable. And if you give one person 100 pesos, you will be instantly surrounded by 100 more people with just as great a need. We had a mission, though, to teach them how to be self-sufficient. It's a work in progress, and it takes a lot of work. It's a long game that we're playing. I can't remember. I think it was just Jason, Allie, and myself and Craig at the last morning before we left, sitting at the cafeteria thing up at the top of the hotel. I'm discussing this long game that we're in, and it is a long game. I mean, it's going to take years to see results, and Craig's been in doing it for years, and there have been results, great results, but we want to see so much more, and I believe we will. But anyway, I digress. I met some beautiful young women, girls really. To me, their stories were the most tragic. I won't go into details, but you can imagine what they have to do in order to survive once they're abandoned by their parents. It's not all broken, though. There are a ton of lives restored. I have met with them, spoke with them, hugged their necks, prayed with them. Their past, not as pitiful as their future, is bright. Now they are loving out loud, looking to find the next tragedy and restore what is broken. We have to live with this hope, or else all is lost. We have to carry the sunshine in our pockets. We have to carry Jesus on our lips. And this is what we will do. And that's what we're doing. Now I'm going to play this video. Just, you'll hear the words. I was going to show y'all, but I don't know Craig's email login.
A few places we visited was the Haitian. One of the most heart-wrenching places we visited was the Haitian ghetto. Threat of being deported at any moment, at any time. The abject poverty. The need that hung in the air. And yet, the people I met there were so full of love and joy. They had nothing, in my view, but in their hearts, they had it all. I hugged their neck, and they hugged mine, too. In that moment, we both laughed out loud. We danced. We enjoyed each other's company, and we were free. I didn't know how to help them, but maybe they helped me more than I could help them anyway. The love of Christ was in their hearts. was a beautiful thing to see. We had a great time.
So, pictures really do good when you're watching that video. Maybe we'll get it set up. Y'all can watch it next week. The time that we got to minister there was probably some of the most precious moments. And I would say that, I'm just going to say every one of us that was there was ministered to more, or at least as much as we got to minister to them. And I mean, I love it there, and I can't wait to go back, God willing. I hope I do. I love those people, my brothers and sisters there. I did teach them how to do some dances, and they showed me before they left that they had learned them. And even a few of them even learned how to do the hand heart. And it was beautiful. So, Max.
I'll just start off with saying that I received a lot on this trip. And the Lord's really got a sense of humor. Because for years, my mindset was, I'm never leaving the United States. I don't like airplanes. I like it just fine here. But Dad came up to me. Ruby wasn't able to go. And he came up to me and said, hey, do you want to take Ruby's place? I'm like, no. He goes, just don't give me a hard no. Just think about it, and I'll ask you again in a week or so. And I was thinking on it off and on for a week or so. He comes up, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do it. He goes, well, we kind of need to know by tomorrow. And so I was like, you know, I want to live my faith. And that mindset just clicked in, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And then I'm like, the day I told him, like an hour later, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can go because my passport expired. And I told Dad, he goes, no. I was like, yeah, it expired because I haven't renewed it. I was like, I'll double check though. So I go home and I look at my passport. I've never renewed my passport. I've only gotten a passport one time. And I looked at that passport and it had an issue date of 2021 and an expiration date of 2031. I was like, wow. And I called Dad. I'm like, man, my passport's good. There's one less opportunity to back out of this trip. And anyway, that coming weekend, I went camping with Israel. And we had a really good talk about just some scripture that the Lord put on my heart. And in a way, it kind of was helping prepare me for this trip. And after we had that conversation, the Lord said, you're going to have one more opportunity to back out of this. And I was like, okay. And sure enough, it was so chaotic and so crazy, and there was just so much confusion at work. I called Dad, and because he was on his way back from New York, and he was just going to come back, get on a plane, and leave with us. I said, I don't know if we can both be gone and everything work out okay here. And he was like, well, I've been thinking about that, and I'm thinking I'm going to have to stay. He goes, and what are you going to do? And instantly I knew. I was like, well, I think this is the moment the Lord was forewarning me about. I was like, well, I got to go. I got to go. And so I went, and day one of or day two of being there, because day one was when we landed and got to the hotel and all that. Day two of being there, we started this conference. And Craig said that I should just go ahead and open up every session in the conference with just a worship song, just five or so minutes. I was like, okay. And so I'm kind of picking songs that I know off the top of my head because there's no Wi-Fi. I should have downloaded stuff on my iPad, kind of think of it. But anyway, so I'm doing it. I'm worshiping. And it's really hard to tell because it's like the whole language barrier. It's just really hard to tell if they're feeling the Spirit as much as like I'm feeling the Spirit in that moment. And so throughout, there was three worship sessions before each teaching. And so I go up to Ramon. I was like, hey, what are some songs that can be translated into Spanish that they might know? And Goodness of God was one of them. And Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And just a couple others. And so we went back to the hotel after that conference, and I found out that we were going to go to a satellite church, just a smaller church outside of the main church. And so we get back to the hotel, and I'm like, I'm gonna try and learn Goodness of God, because there's Wi-Fi there, so I could download it and get the chords and whatnot. And so I downloaded it, and I'm practicing it, and we then leave to go to this little satellite church that evening and just plan that song and watching them worship in just this tiny little cinder block building. It was just so incredible. I really felt Holy Spirit then, and I knew they were feeling it too. It was so good. And so we leave that church and we go to the main church, and worship there was just off. It was totally different than anything I've ever heard or experienced. But man, was Holy Spirit strong there. It was incredible. I didn't know that you could feel Holy Spirit that strong in that kind of worship. It was so cool. And anyway, so they start singing Goodness of God. And Ramon's like, Max. And I'm like, no, they're singing it in Spanish. I don't even have the words to this song memorized. He's like, Max. I was like, oh, man. So I grab my iPad real fast, and I'm opening it up to that song as I'm walking up to the stage. And I'm up there, no guitar, which is really weird. It just felt really weird singing without playing guitar. But it was so much fun. It was a little difficult figuring out where they were and for us to follow along with each other. But we, luckily, there was one person there that knew it in English. So she was singing it in English with me to help me out, because they had like 8 vocalists up there. And so we finally got it together and whatnot. And it was so much fun. It was so incredible to be part of that. And Ramon comes up. He said, if you can tell these people one thing, what would you tell them right now? And it's a little bit of what I shared up there over why I picked that song that I did this evening. It was just the purest form of worship I've ever seen. They're living worship there. And I got a whole new perspective on my worship and whatnot. And Ramon tells me, he goes, you know, I saw tonight, before tonight even happened, and you were up here singing with this band. And I was like, he goes, I'm going to put you on the spot. And I'm thinking, I don't like being put on the spot. And he says, after tonight, your worship is never going to be the same. The Lord's wanting to impart something in you. And as soon as he gets done saying that, all the people from church come walking up to pray for me. And I just remember closing my eyes, ready to just receive whatever the Lord had for me in that moment. And as I closed my eyes, it was just blinding white, and I couldn't hear anything. But yeah, I felt the peace of the Lord all around me. And in my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? What am I receiving? What do I need to do from this day on? Nothing. It was just, but still, he was there all around me. He just wasn't answering me, and I kept asking this, and I kept asking this. And it just felt like my identity was just wiped away by the time they got done. Like kind of a little bit like, who am I in this moment right now? And I just remember it was just like a shocked feeling. And anyway, later that night, we go back to the hotel. The next morning, I wake up with major depression. And I think it was an attack of the enemy for what had been going on. And in this depression, I'm just like, Lord, I don't feel you right now, but I'm still going to try and do whatever you need me to do down here. And I'm still choosing you. I just kept saying that over and over and over again throughout that day. Until that afternoon, like even in the conference the second day, I was not feeling it in worship. But I'm like, I'm still worshiping. Then if I'm not feeling it, it's going to happen. Whether I'm feeling it or not. And that afternoon we had to go play. We were going to go preach at another satellite church, the one where they got all their graduation certificates for completing Craig's books, and they were up there worshiping, and I'm just sitting back there just soaking it in because it's just so incredible to watch. And there's this guy named Ocidi. He comes up to me. He goes, "Hey man," he goes, "can I borrow your guitar?" And I was like, sure. So I hand him my guitar. And he grabs it, puts it around his shoulders, and he walks up there, and he's just leading them in worship with his guitar. And for the first time in that whole day, I felt the Lord and heard him say, "You know that guitar needs to stay here, right?" And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Every one of my guitars has a story and is special to me, and that's the one that got me started in worship. My whole family bought that guitar for me. It's my first real nice guitar, and literally, that was, I've struggled with depression in my past in Louisiana, and the only escape from it was worship with that guitar. And the whole day I'm saying no, but I'm feeling God again. And so I get up there, and I lead the "Bless the Lord, O My Soul" song, and they were all singing along. It was awesome. And the next day, I'm sitting in Ramon's house that he has next to the church there, and I'm listening to them talk about all the churches that they want to start all around these different cities. And they were talking about their biggest struggle was resources for starting a different church. Equipment, you know, buildings to meet in, instruments. And as soon as the topic of instruments comes up, God again says, "You know that guitar's got to stay here, right?" And I'm like, oh. So I go over to Dad, and I said, "I need you to drive me back to the hotel." He goes, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah, my guitar's got to stay here. I got to go get it." So he drives me back, and I get the guitar, get back in the van. The whole ride there, I'm just praying over this guitar because my main mindset was, this is what got me started in worship, and I want this to get churches started in worship, and whoever to play it, for the Holy Spirit to just flow through them. And that Sunday, we ended the service. I told everybody, the church, I was explaining that I was leaving this guitar here, what the Lord told me. So we leave. Next day, Christian comes up to me with Ramon. He said, "Hey, I want to tell you that OCD's church has been fasting and praying off and on for a guitar for 2 months. I was like, wow. Wow. I was like, for what I've received in this trip alone, you can just have the guitar. It was so cool. And it's just so incredible how the Lord worked on changing my passport, giving me the courage to go down into a different country where they don't speak the same language. And it was just such an incredible, incredible experience. And
I don't think that guitar
has
played anything else but worship.
No.
His whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have snuck in a Leonard Skinner song here and there.
But... Yeah, but for the most part, even the guy before me was big into worship music and all that stuff too. But my big takeaway from this trip was through all of this, through that whole experience of just being obedient to the Lord and just seeing how obedience blesses not only yourself but others. And I really got to witness that through Craig, who was telling me about his whole time of just starting everything down there and where they've come from. And it's just to me, it's so incredible of where they're at. And I didn't even get to see where they started. By the end of the whole trip, I feel like the Lord spoke to me, and through him speaking to me, he said, you can continue on the way you are right now and everything's going to be fine, but how far are you willing to follow me on this path to see as good as this was and the rewards that you've seen from this, not only for yourself but for others? How far are you willing to follow me on that path? And it's like, kind of like the Lord put on my heart, this is the turning point in life. It's like, you can go this route or you can go this route. Either way is going to be okay. But I'm of the mindset that I'm all in. And I'm excited to see what those prayers of changing worship for me is going to do. I'm really excited for it. So... anyway, that's my trip.
And with the Lord speaks to me, you know, it's so much easier to hear him over there. I don't know why. I'm not, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. I'm not a willing person to go. I go because Chad pretty much tells me I have to go. He's been there like 5 times, and this was my 2nd time. But, you know, he came home and told me that all the spouses were going to go. I'm like, why did you say that to the leadership team, that they wanted the spouses to go? Because I'm like your spouse. But last year, I know. But last year, I don't know if all of you know, I was, I had just had thyroid surgery, and I didn't have a thyroid, and I was suffering from crippling anxiety, and one of my fears, big fears, was to be sick in another country and to not have help. And that was the year Chad told me that the spouses were going, and I'm like, I don't think I can do that. But of course, he got my ticket, I got my passport, and I had a really big anxiety attack on the way there, which it's humiliating to me when I have them, so I just get really quiet, and nobody pretty much knows that it was going on, but it was bad. And then we went over there, and Ramon preached, and it was great. Didn't have any episodes the whole time, but I didn't even think about it. I got home, and it was like a few days later, and Chad asked me how my anxiety was there, and I was like, wow, God healed me of that. Just because I unwillingly said yes, I still went and obeyed. He healed me of that there. And this year, it was easier. It was my 2nd time. But the Lord, I mean, I used to dream all the time. And God would give me visions. And twice over there, John and I had a dream in the same night. Mine was wonky. His was a little bit more normal. But he did have a wonky one. Yeah, he had a wonky one too. But it was really interesting because we were all at breakfast. I was telling Craig, and Craig was like, wow, that's really weird. And And then Ramon's wife, Mary Loy, who speaks very limited English, I wrote it out and I showed it to her, and she connected the two in a beautiful way of what was going on in the DR, and that did something for me. And when Jason and Allie were up there talking, I had a word for them, but I really think it's a word for all of us that support Ramon and in the DR, as this church does. When they were up there speaking, I was instantly had this open eye vision of this line of old people, young people, babies, just a line of them, and it ended in this really bright light. And I saw Jesus at the end, and I heard the word legacy. And a song came to mind called Legacy by Nicole Nordman, who wrote that years and years ago. But that is what we are doing over there. And the seeds that are being planted and watered, it will last until Jesus returns. It's going to change the culture over there. They've certainly changed me.